Hello, Cleveland. Welcome to the Dogland Podcast. I am your host, Anthony Jokey. As always, joined by my co-host, Jackson McCurry. We are here to recap night two of the 2024 NFL Draft on what is our 400th episode of the Dogland Podcast. And Jack, man, it's been crazy that you and I have been doing this for so long that we are at 400 episodes right now.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, man. Like, it's like we talked about it on our last episode we did together about how we started this thing. Well, you started this podcast right before the 2017 draft, and then I hopped on a few episodes after, and we've been on this roller coaster ride breaking down the Browns ever since. But yeah, 400 episodes, man. It's quite the accomplishment.
So is this 400 with an asterisk, because you recorded an episode with Jack Duffin this morning and you didn't realize it until after the fact. And I was like, well, just call it episode 399.5.
Yeah. We'll do that. We'll just say that both episodes from Friday will count as 400 altogether, because that was a quick episode with Jack. And this one might be a little lengthy because we're going to talk about two picks, but yeah. We'll call this one 400 for sure.
It's a two-part special, I guess.
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that.
And this podcast will have an asterisk, just like the Astros World Series title. So always fun to take a shot at them for that. So night two, NFL draft. Browns didn't have a pick until number 85, until 54. They had 54 and 85. So we sat around for a little while until the Browns made their first selection. And for the second straight year in a row, Jack, the Browns went down to Columbus and drafted a Buckeye and are bringing to Cleveland a local kid from Streetsboro, Michael Hall Jr., defensive tackle. And it's a lot of fun to have another Buckeye join the Browns after many, many years of previous regimes ignoring the talent that's been down there. But for them to get Michael Hall, I think, is a great addition to this defense. Not a whole lot of pressure on him because of the solid defensive line that is already there. I would imagine he'll fit into the rotation at some point, but there's really no pressure. And he's going to learn from some very good people around him.
Yeah. I mean, I looked it up when I was on the Barking Browns draft show with Jacob Roach and Nick Carnes. This is the fourth Buckeye that Andrew Berry has drafted, and all the regimes before him took three total Buckeyes. So definitely we know Andrew Berry loves to draft from the powerhouse schools, and it's the fourth Buckeye he's drafted. Tommy Togiai, DeJuan Jones and Luke Whipler last year, and now Mike Hall Jr. You mentioned it. He's going to come in and get to be in a defensive line room with Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith and Dalvin Tomlinson, Shelby Harris, Mo Hurst, Quentin Jefferson. Like, there's so much talent on that defensive front now. It's going to be crazy to see how they construct that, because obviously, you know, Siaki Ika was one of our third round picks last year. Who knows what's going to come of him now, like how they dwindle down the defensive line room. Cause now you got 60 tackles on the roster currently, but Mike Hall, when you look at what he does in terms of a pass rusher, Andrew Berry called him the quintessential three technique of our defense, which I think is high praise for a guy. But, you know, growing up here in Northeast Ohio, in Streetsboro, going to Ohio State and doing what he did during his time there, was all Big Ten the last couple of years, honorable mention in 2022, third team all Big Ten this past season. He's a great athlete, knows how to get after the quarterback, create some pressure, and he's going to get into a spot where he's going to be a rotational piece, I think, right away. Doesn't have to do too much because of the crowded room at defensive tackle, but I think this is a good pick. I was surprised because you heard a lot of the national media, Anthony, talk about how the Browns needed to address D tackle and I didn't think they were going to do it right away just because of how crowded the room was. But if they were going to, he was one of the guys at D tackle that I liked. Chris Jenkins from Michigan was the other one. So this is a good pick. I would have preferred them go offensive tackle just because of how stacked the class was, but I have no problems with Mike Hall Jr. because I do think it's a good pick that will help the Browns defense.
Yeah, you're wondering if you're going to be able to get a defensive tackle because there were six of them taken before the Browns picked at 54 just in the second round alone. So the guy from Clemson, Illinois, Texas, Florida State, and then you mentioned Chris Jenkins was taken. I mean, there were guys that were taken defensive tackle-wise before the Browns got to pick, so you're wondering if, well, maybe that's the route they go, maybe not. So they were able to get one, and look, there was a quote, Andrew Berry, a couple days ago, I think it was, when they were asking him about his thought process, and he mentioned, I don't want to, like, I'll just paraphrase it, but it's more like looking big picture for down the road. So, you know, when you have a lot of these guys on 1 year deals, like Mo Hurst and Shelby Harris and whatnot, you know, he could sit down, learn this year, you know, hopefully force his way into the rotation and get some experience. And then, you know, maybe next year, all right, he's one of your starting guys on that defensive line. So it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out, but I think there's definitely an opportunity, and with Jim Schwartz as well, there should be definitely an opportunity for him to have that growth. There's definitely the tools around him to be able to do that.
Yeah, without question. And the tools are there with him as a player. Reading Dane Brugler's scouting report on him, he said Hall was more of a flash player than consistent force, but his quick twitch movements and natural energy are the ingredients of a disruptive gap penetrator. His pass rush win rate was 18.3%, which was second best among defensive tackles behind Byron Murphy, who was a first round pick, but like the production wasn't there. He only had a sack and a half in 2023. You know, he had 4.5 sacks in 2022. His snaps weren't that high. He only averaged 28 snaps per game at Ohio State. So there's things there. There's rumors out there that he was going to drop down the board. I seen Cleve TA had posted right before we went on air saying, why doesn't somebody in the Cleveland media ask Barry why some teams took him off the draft board? So hopefully like nothing like too damaging comes out about him. And I would really hope the Browns did their homework because there was some, you know, rumors and stuff out there about his character, but I, in terms of a football player, he's a good pick, good value. I mean, Brugler had him 60 overall on his board. He goes 54. I know Daniel Jeremiah was down on him, but it was, this year was so unique, Anthony, because everybody had really differing opinions on prospects. Some were really high, some were really low, some were right in the middle all across the draft board. It was so weird to see like the influx, or that's not the word, but just how different everybody's boards were. So I like the pick. I think he's going to help this defense, and it just gives another weapon for Jim Schwartz up front. When you think about all the NASCAR packages and all the different combinations they could do with these defensive linemen now. So I'm anxious to see what he's going to do. He doesn't have to come in and do too much right away because of the depth of D tackle, but it's a good pick. And I'm interested to see how Schwartz can mold him into that three tech.
Yeah, they decided to add somebody to the trenches on the defensive side of the ball. Somebody who, you know, like I had mentioned before, is probably going to, potentially be a starter down the road, hopefully, with, you know, some of the other contracts that they have on that D-line. And on the other side of the ball, trenches-wise, looking big picture, the Browns decided to add a guard to their offensive line with, you know, Joe Bitonio entering his 11th season as a member of the Cleveland Browns. You know, Wyatt Teller, who signed that extension a couple years ago, they decide to go from Columbus to that school up north and draft Zach Zinter, Zach, unfortunately, broke his leg in two places in the Ohio State-Michigan game this past season. Chances are he would have been a much higher draft pick if that wasn't the case. But the Browns get him at pick number 85. And when you're looking at, you know, how this offensive line is going to go probably under a transformation over the next couple years, Zach Zinter could definitely be a part of that at guard.
Yeah, I mean, and this is always what cracks me up is people look at the draft as how can they help in 2024? But it's like it's a multi-year evaluation, like what the Browns or what any team expects what the player can do, not just in year one, but in years two, three, and four. And, you know, Zach Zinter, very talented offensive lineman. They're looking at him as hopefully a future replacement for, like you said, Joel Bitonio or Wyatt Teller. You know, Bitonio's entering year 11. Teller's pushing 30, although he might, you know, he still might have a couple more solid years left in him, but they look at Zinter as, you know, a long-term interior offensive lineman. The talent's there. You mentioned, had he not broke his leg and had he had a good few more great games in the playoffs, that he might have been a higher pick and the Browns might not have been able to get him at 85. So I like this pick. I know in a lot of mock drafts, I was taking him in the fifth round. But obviously I'm guessing the intel around the league was that he was going to go much higher. So the Browns felt like this was the right spot to take him. And I have no problem with it. I think he's a good player. I think he's smart. He's physical. He knows how to control defenders in terms of blocking. So I think this is going to be a good pick for them. And, you know, Andrew Berry said that he's going to be available to do some stuff this spring, which I think is promising to get him out there and get acclimated with his teammates out on the field. You know, we know how Stefanski likes to use the jumbo sets, Anthony, and it wouldn't shock me if we see Zinter out there when they put, you know, six or seven linemen up in goal line situations.
You know, when you look at offensive linemen and their PFF grades, sometimes you'll see it vary, right? You'll see their run block grade be lower or higher than their pass block grade, vice versa, et cetera. This tells you how consistent he was. His run block grade in 2023 was 75.8. His pass block grade was 73.8. His zone run grade was 72.9. His gap grade was 72.2. The only thing where he struggled with, his true pass block grade was 63.8. So we know that they love to run the ball up there in Michigan, and there's no doubt that he is able to do that. But he did end up with about a 74 pass block grade as well. So he's just a solid offensive lineman, and I think that they'll be able to groom him over the next couple of years to, you know, maybe take a starting role next year or even the year after that. And not only that, you know, you do have Luke Whippler, who's going into his second year, being a backup center. He, you know, he could be your starting center next year or even the year after that. So this whole offensive line, it'd be interesting. Very curious to see how it really shakes out over the next couple of years. And you can definitely tell that they've gone big picture on this.
Yeah. I mean, you look at, and I talked about this with offensive tackle and how, you know, five out of the six guys currently on the roster could be gone after the end of the year. We talked about guard, like Michael Dunn is the top reserve guard. He isn't getting any younger. He's in his fifth year with the Browns and I think he's pushing 32. So it's a situation where you got to start looking at the long term. You got to start getting affordable talent to eventually replace the high paid guys we got, like Joel Bitonio. Like I said, Joel Bitonio is entering his 11th year. Wyatt Teller is entering his, I think, sixth or seventh year in the league. So these guys aren't getting any younger. You got to start thinking long term, thinking about the future. And you know, Zinter could play right away, but he's in a spot where he doesn't have to, so he can sit back, he'll still, I'm sure he's going to be prepared to play in case of an injury, but he's going to be able to learn behind two great all pro caliber guards in Batonio and Teller and then be ready to go. But we've seen the success rate of Michigan linemen once they've gotten to the pros. This guy played and or he started 42 games. And the biggest thing, Anthony, you talked about the PFF grades. Last year in his senior year, he allowed zero sacks and he had zero penalties, which I think is huge. And I think you're getting a good player here. I know a lot of people are upset that, you know, wide receiver wasn't taken. I'm kind of one of those people, but seeing how the board went, like just the wide receivers weren't there for the taking. Actually, I should take that back. They were there for the tanking, but the Browns focused on other positions, not only for, you know, the immediate like Michael Hall, but for the long-term future, like in Zach Center.
Yeah. Let's kind of transition to that because, the third round is just about over. There's a few picks left. The Steelers are on the clock right now as we speak. So tomorrow, they have, is it three picks remaining? Four picks, I think, in the last.
Yeah, they got four picks.
One in the fifth, one in the sixth, two in the seventh, if that's right.
Yeah, okay. I believe so.
So where can you see them going with these last few picks? Because, you know, we had talked about how this roster is pretty set, you know, starter-wise, and even, you know, backup-wise, it's pretty set. When you're looking at it, 45, 46 roster spots are pretty well set, you would think. You know, they adding six players to this team, not everybody's going to make it. So what can you see the Browns and Andrew Berry doing on day three of the draft tomorrow?
I mean, when you look at the board, I think tight end is still in play. There's still plenty of talented tight ends on the board. Jatavion Sanders is still there, but I think he'll probably come off the board quickly. If not at the end of tonight, Pittsburgh just took Peyton Wilson, the linebacker, which is pretty good value for, he was a top 50 guy and they're getting him at pick 98. So
except he has no ACL.
No ACL on his one knee. So that's very interesting. But Eric All, who the Browns did bring in, he's still on the board. Cade Stover's on the board. Jared Wiley from TCU, Theo Johnson from Penn State, Jaheim Bell from Florida State. Like, that's the cream of the crop at the tight end position. AJ Barner from Michigan as well. I can see them going there at some point tomorrow. Tackle, there's some names there. Christian Jones out of Texas, Walter Rouse from Oklahoma, Javon Foster, who I've liked for a long time. He's still there. Wide receiver, like Troy Franklin is still there, which still blows my mind. Tez Walker, Javon Baker, Malik Washington, like, but we're at pick 156. So it's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out. I would think a tight end's in play tomorrow. Running back potentially is in play late in the draft tomorrow. You're looking at the Cody Schraders, the Isaac Ruendos, Frank Gore Jr. Like, those names would be down the list. Linebacker, Curtis Jacobs, Michael Barrett, Jordan McGee. Like, there's some names there. They could always take a corner because we know how Andrew Berry loves those. But at this point, Anthony, I think we're looking at guys that you could potentially try to stash on the practice squad with these picks, or maybe they take these picks and flip them into future assets. But at the end of the day, tomorrow, they got four picks. I think you're looking at guys that they're hoping to stash as developmental pieces on the practice squad. And then, you know, see what they can bring to the table come in 2025. So, but who knows, the way the board has shaken out in this draft so far, maybe the Browns get a steal at 156 at a position they didn't expect to be in. And they get a guy that could be a contributor in some kind of rotational role that they didn't expect to fall, but it'll be interesting. There's some names on the board still at the positions that they need to add some depth to. So we'll see how it all shakes out, but we got a long way to go before the Browns are on the clock again.
Or even, you know, gearing those picks towards special teams with the new kickoff rules and everything.
Right.
That's definitely an option as well. You know, I would expect, you know, maybe a linebacker or two that they could potentially take. I know typically you could get a handful of them in the UDFAs. So there's that we have to pay attention to tomorrow once the draft is over.
For sure.
Because, you know, there's always, you know, one or two players in the UDFAs that were expected to go, you know, maybe fifth or sixth round that don't get drafted for, you know, various reasons. And it's always curious to see where those players end up going as UDFAs. So there's that route to go after the Browns make their four picks tomorrow, one in the fifth, one in the sixth, and then two in the seventh round. So we'll see how it all shakes out. I'm sure you and I will be back after the draft tomorrow at some point it's over to talk everything break everything down, and maybe most of the UDFA stuff will be done by the time we talk as well. So we'll be able to get out some of those names, but is there any parting shots you got before we get out of here?
No, not really. I'm fascinated what some of these teams think of Troy Franklin, because like Luke McCaffrey just went off the board to Washington, and this was a guy that we thought could go in the late first round, and we're at pick 100 and he's still on the board. So I'm wondering what the concerns are. Is there some character concerns out there? But yeah, I like what the Browns did. Like, it's not sexy, but it's solid. They build up the trenches and they're planning for the future. So I don't have a problem with it. And I think they did a good job tonight.
Yeah. The O-line D-line is never like a sexy thing, you know, to take, you know, the wide receivers, corners, quarterbacks, you know, those are like the sexy picks, but these are the kinds of picks that win you games, because the most of the games are won in the trenches, and hopefully drafting offensive lineman, defensive lineman, the Browns will be able to continue adding to both their dominant offensive line and defensive line as well here in the future. So with all that, I'll go ahead.
I was going to say, I will say real quick, and I posted this on X, I think the fact that the Browns didn't draft a receiver tonight increases the odds of an Amari Cooper extension, because like they could draft one tomorrow, then and I just don't think it would alter that plan. I think they must not have been as high on the wide receivers as some of us were. And I think they still think Amari Cooper is a vital piece of this team. So I would not be shocked if a extension gets hammered out at some point this summer.
Well, and they could think highly of Cedric Tillman as well, because he came on late in the year and started to have some production as well. So,
and Elijah Moore,
there's that possibility too. With the extensions, I remember seeing something a couple of days ago after AJ Brown signed his extension that we could see a flurry of extensions this summer, because Amon-Ra St. Brown has got one, AJ Brown just got one, so. Yep. The framework is probably going to be out there for a potential Amari Cooper extension, and we'll have to kind of keep an eye on that as the summer trickles along here.
Well, Mike Evans was 2 for 50, I think. So if you want to go 2 for 52, or maybe go 3 years for 75 or something, I think that's something I think feasible for both sides to get something done.
Yeah. We'll see how it all shakes out. I'm sure Duffin will have a new framework with the deals that have been shelled out this year for wide receivers for Cooper. So we'll definitely be on the lookout for that when he accomplishes that, because I'm sure it's not far past this draft content that he's been also pumping out as well. So, but until tomorrow, we will talk to you then. Be sure to give Jack a follow on Twitter at JackMcCurry08, me at AnthonyJoki, J-O-K-I, The Dogland on Twitter, Facebook, Threads, Instagram, all of that, at The Dogland. We will talk to you all tomorrow, and remember, as always, go Browns.